The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Tyler Drew Scott. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. Mostly sports. And a little movie stuff right there at the end. But AJ teased something for 5 o'clock.
I did, and it is now 5 o'clock. So the time has come for the story. This is from a Reddit relationships post in San Antonio. It is from a 34-year-old woman. She said, I'm a female, 34, pregnant, struggling with my husband, who's a 35-year-old male, his lack of support regarding the behavior of my in-laws. How can I improve the situation? And she says, I've been happily married for 10 years now. I'm still very much in love, and he's my best friend. We normally never argue. I'm not even sure if this was an argument, but it left me feeling lonely, unsupported, and isolated from his side of the family. The relationship with his parents has been strained. This is where it gets weird.
Okay, it's already... Sorry, go ahead.
You were getting bored?
It just sounds like whining to me, but go ahead.
They own a number of mouse figurines. They are made from different materials, and one is a giant paper mache one called Timothy. Each one of these mice has a whole character profile with backstories, personal preferences, family relations, etc. And all of them are seen as a part of the family. Timothy, even as my in-law's grandchild.
Okay, this sounds like Joe Dirt, the clown things. Yeah.
What unsettles me is that they constantly talk as them with other mice or each other slash guests. They'll use a high-pitched tone, and they'll talk in a manner that little children would use. For instance, my husband's father will squeakingly say, "My tummy hurts. I'm hungry," while wiggling a mouse plushie in my face. I'm then expected to answer the mouse and get it, not him, something to eat. They do this constantly. In fact, most of the time, the mice are talking, not them. Till now, I've never said anything judgy, but I usually avoid talking to the mice and instead address the person talking. I've never talked as a mouse. His parents have noticed this and have often tried forcing me into it. They are visibly upset that I won't participate and have gifted me mice figurines on several occasions that I refuse to use. I understand that it's probably them welcoming me into the family, but I'm just too creeped out by it. When they visit us, they force me to get them out of the closet and display them, and I feel invaded by that. At the same time, I feel silly about feeling invaded by inanimate objects. Today it escalated when we announced that I am pregnant, and my father-in-law replied that it would be wonderful to soon have two grandchildren. By the first, he meant Timothy the paper mache mouse. For the first time, I got angry and said that he didn't have a grandchild yet and that my child wasn't comparable to a paper mache mouse. They got very angry, and I got screamed at as Timothy for disrespecting him. He called me stupid. This is the conflict I need advice for. Instead of supporting me, my husband stayed silent the whole time and later told me that many people's stuffed animals talk and that he can't understand how I am so tolerant in everything but this. I was crying at this point, but he didn't comfort me, which is very unlike him, and how I know that he is truly upset as well. I've been very sad as I'm a family-oriented person, and I've always regretted that I don't feel included on his side of the family. His parents have always acted cold towards me, although I've made an effort to take a genuine interest in their lives and to build a bond with them. After my outburst, it's obviously even worse. I feel lonely and unsure, and I don't know how to act anymore, how to make him understand that I need him to do something. I don't even know what I want him to do exactly. I'm scared that he will reject me for being difficult and putting him in an uncomfortable position, but at the same time, I feel like I can't stand this anymore. I'm scared that they'll do this to our child or make them feel unloved, so I'm looking for advice on how to deal with the situation. Should I press the issue or accept it and try to avoid them? How should I deal with this once our child is born? My in-laws communicate as and via mouse figurines who they see as family members. I don't want to participate and told them my child would be different from and more important than a mouse grandchild. They got really angry, and instead of supporting me, my husband thinks I should be more tolerant. What do you think?
I'm sorry, I fell asleep about halfway through that.
You don't find that fascinating?
I find it fake. That's totally made up. And if it's not, it's pretty simple. You're an idiot for marrying into this family without knowing
kind
that beforehand.
Of are.
It's totally on you. And you're telling me you just now figured out that they're mouse freaks?
Did anyone ask her for proof and she posted pictures of these of the mice?
I don't know. I didn't dig that far. They deleted the original thread.
Because she made it up. The whole thing's made up. But if that were really the case, then, you know, stop with the I love my husband. His family's insane. That means he's insane because he supports
you.
You would
leave him.
It means your damn little kid's going to be insane. Get the hell out of there.
You would leave him?
Yes. In a heartbeat.
Even though you're now pregnant?
Doesn't matter. You know what? Maybe, just maybe, if you had this rat problem before you got married or before you got pregnant, you should have thought long and hard about bringing a baby into this world from a family that has a bunch of figurine mice.
Yeah.
And I have zero sympathy for you. Shut the hell up. Quit making up stories. If that's really true, then you're a dumb for being in that family in the first place. You should have known this a long time ago.
Do your in-laws have any weird things that are uncomfortable to you?
Other than being Canadian?
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, it's... they're great to me. I don't have any complaints about them. I mean, I get bored bleepless up there sometimes when they start talking about how many inches of rain they're going to get. But they're farmers. I mean, it's a big deal. But no, there's nothing like that. There's no figurines. I mean, I've been pretty lucky with in-laws. Wife's not so much.
Yeah.
In-laws.
Their in-laws are all right.
Yeah. White Tiger Asia says, advice, destroy the figurines and run. Yeah, see, I wouldn't resort to vandalism, but, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, now that you have a kid, you're whining about this? I mean, yeah. This is all on you. You should have known this a long time ago. If this has been a problem, and then suddenly now you want answers when you're about to have a child into this family, you're a dumb lady. I'm sorry. I'm not sympathetic. And you, at some point, you should have known that before you got married. You're 35 years old, too. Grow the hell up.
Yeah.
My God. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think I would have backed out of this situation much sooner. Like, honestly, I would have. Yeah, the fact. And I get it how once you're pregnant, your emotions shoot way up. So maybe it's a hormonal thing, but I feel like the first time they ever brought the mice out and started talking, I would have asked my wife, like, what the hell was going on with that? What was that all about? And well,
fiance.
Yeah. Or yeah, just my girlfriend or whoever it was at the time.
I wouldn't have gone to marriage on that. I don't care how much I like the person.
And if they say, that's just how my family talks to each other, I would say, all the time?
And you're okay with this?
You don't think that's weird? And if they didn't think it was weird, I would probably start to move away from that relationship.
Oh, yeah, you eject right away. 281, that's a mouse hole I don't want to go through.
But now, at the same time, this might be an ugly chick who, you know, has limited options on guys who will marry her.
Let's be real, it is San Antonio, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We know what Barkley says about that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way this chick is super hot, because a super hot chick wouldn't she would have never put up with this from the beginning.
No, not at all.
So let's say at best she's probably a six. So she's like, ah, I found a guy who wants to marry me. You know, he's got a good job. But his family talks to each other with mice. What do I do? And, you know, she made a call. And now she's pregnant and she's like, oh, I made the wrong call.
Yeah, see, this is all on her. This is 100% on her. 281 says, advice, bring a cat over and start talking like it wants to eat everything.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny.
Yeah, I like that. But make it a fake cat, right? And then you talk to it the whole time. So, D says, who waits 10 years into a marriage to have kids?
I know a lot of my friends have done that.
Yeah, that's not that unusual.
People trying to live their life first.
Yeah, and get their career going.
Yeah.
Somebody says that sounds like an SNL skit. I mean, I don't doubt there's people crazy enough to do that. But I don't buy it. It just sounds way too fake.
I mean, after 10 years, that's the other thing. After 10 years, it's like, dude, I gotta get out of this thing.
Yeah, I would not have been spitting out a little mouse baby, though. That's on her. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. It's the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Come inside, it's fun inside. ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 832, the mice are actually made from the husband's ex-girlfriends who spoke up against the parents. Interesting. All right. So you want real advice for this, not just...
I want real advice.
Because... obviously, it's too late. You're already stuck. Okay, so here's my real advice for this fake story.
You don't know that.
It's fake. And come on. But
you don't think anybody's that weird?
No, I think people are that weird. But there's too many things in there that just sound completely made up. Like, I'm sure that there's a couple out there that has little stuffed mice that they treat as family. I don't doubt that at all. But...
damn it, no Miles Straw on the lineup today. Come on, Astros. What are you guys doing?
But obviously there's mental health issues there, right?
Right.
We'd have to agree. Here's the deal. Pregnant lady, fake pregnant lady. If you've really been doing this for 10 years, you can't whine about it now.
That's true.
Basically, tell your in-laws, hey man, I get that you're into the mice thing. Mouse away when I'm at your house. Come to my house, no mice.
Yeah.
Hey, man, fuck that. And I respect your mousehood, but not in my home. And if they have a problem with that.
But if you're her, wouldn't you expect your husband to have your back?
After how long they've been married? 10 years?
10 years.
Hell no.
No.
Dude's out banging her friend who also probably is into mice. Let's be honest.
That's probably true.
He's not backing her up because, well, Lamont brought up a good point. What's the parents' net worth? I mean, if they're like part of the Disney family and that explains it, and you're going to get a bunch of money out of it, mouse away.
I guess
so. She should even perform sex acts on Timmy the Mouse.
Yeah.
If that's the case, and then quit complaining. But I don't know. The husband should back her play when she says, okay, when we go to their house, that's fine.
Right.
You know, rodent central.
And then you just never go to their house.
Yeah, and then make them come to your house if they want to see their real grandkid and not Timothy. Seems reasonable to me.
I mean, Timothy does sound pretty great, though.
Well, listen, I would have, for me, I would embrace Timothy.
You're stupid.
Yeah, I would be having all kinds of great conversations with her. God, maybe that's what I should do is like, I don't want to do mice. But get something like that, and then when people come over, they'll think you're totally insane. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Because it could just be a whole thing could be an act to look crazy. 409. She should ask her husband if he's a man or a mouse.
Yeah.
I'd be curious what Lance thought about that.
He was excited about it. Like as soon as he was out of here, as soon as he was out of the studio, he was like, "Dude, I didn't get to this today. You're gonna love it." And I mean, it is a super weird story. You might be right. It might be fake.
I'm pretty sure it is. There's just too many things in there that.
But if there are any truths to it,
yeah. Well, and maybe, maybe if it is true, it's just her way of kind of making fun of him publicly.
I think it's too weird to not be true.
I don't know.
I feel like that's hard to make something up like that.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Go look at any comedian, some of the stuff they make up. There's a lot of writers out there making up stuff weirder than that. And it's never impossible to make something up. I think you underestimate the creative abilities of people.
Well, I know how creative I am, and I could never be that creative. So that's the only thing I'm judging that on.
If it's fiction, that's pretty good. I like it. She should call me. We should talk.
You should interview her behind a mouse plushie.
Yeah, you know what would be cool? It would be to do like a Clockwork Orange thing where we have her come in and then show her mouse images to see how she reacts.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious. John says, my in-laws are Vietnamese. I am not. It's been 12 years, and every time we see them, they speak to me in full-blown Vietnamese as if I understand. I've never once had the impression I know what they're saying. Also, they serve me room-temperature Heineken.
I have a problem with that.
So, yeah, somebody says Timothy wants a beer, Fred. But Reddit, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's fake on Reddit. But that doesn't matter. Sometimes fake is funny. So if it's fiction, I'd kind of like to see the mouse house. I'd like to see some pictures.
I wish there would have been pictures of Timothy, mostly. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by Timothy. But I am. I'm picturing the parents from Joe Dirt with their little clown figurines.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing here.
And when she says a huge papier-mâché mouse, do you think she means like, I don't know, like is it the size of a loaf of bread, or is it bigger than that? Is it the size of like a small child?
Hmm.
And why mice?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, maybe one of them was abused at Disney as a child and, wound up with a mouse fetish. I don't know.
It's a weird thing, man. And by the way, I mean, as much as we think this is, weird for this woman to have to be, going through it, imagine at one point the husband, the mom and dad, the dad had to have presented this as something that he likes to do, and the mom had to be cool with it.
Or the other way around.
Yeah. And I always talk about when there's really crazy stuff going on with multiple people, I'm like, how do you find two people that are that crazy that they'll do, they're going down that road together?
How do you think cults get started?
I know. And this
might be the beginning of a mouse cult. This is a scary part.
I used to think about this with Columbine. How does this one guy who thinks it's a great idea to shoot up the school, go to school, and he's got to at some point decide to tell his buddy about this idea and just completely trust that he's not going to call the cops on him? Or, I mean, you got to be pretty bold. And I mean, you're trying to have sex with this woman, or maybe you're already having sex and you're like, so I like to talk, instead of talking me to you, I like us to hold up mouse puppets and talk like that. Is that going to be a deal breaker, or are you good with that?
Yeah, that's something you have to discuss before you get married, though. Now, to be fair.
But then also the husband,
I'm down with that.
But then also the husband, if they were doing this while he was a kid and he grew up with it, then he probably thinks it's normal behavior, or he was hiding it from everybody until
you can't make it that far into life that you're become like you're about to be a grandparent and still think that that's normal behavior. Someone sat them down along the way and said, dude, this is weird. What you're doing is weird.
832 says she should talk to the mice, create an uprising, and overthrow the in-laws. You know what I would do? This would probably get me killed. I would pretend to be friends with Timothy and then do the, please tell Grandpa to stop sexually abusing me at night. I'm little Timmy. He touches me inappropriately.
Oh, no, Timmy. No,
he comes into my bedroom. And
Grandpa would never do that.
He pulls off my fur and
yeah.
And he tries to treat me like a puppet, and he says it's a game. That's what I'd be doing. Oh, the best laid plans. Oh. Texters are having fun with this. So, yeah, that would be what I would do. Somebody says, not being able to understand your in-laws, that guy's living the dream.
It's true.
Yeah, there's truth. Yeah, Paul C says, most unbelievable parts, the entire family partakes seriously in mousedom. Yes. That's the thing. There's no way. But somebody says, I'm seeing Steve Carell in Dinner for Schmucks.
I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, it's one of those that, you know, it's okay. It's got its moments. So I wonder how often they watch Stuart Little.
Even Steve Carell in 40-Year-Old Virgin with all those yeah. action figures.
Yeah.
Steve Carell, sorry. Yeah. Well, I mean, there are people that do stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just hard to believe a whole family.
Yeah, that's very odd.
Andre Mousetrap, anyone? Oh, that would be really cool. Bring that as a gift. Oh, here's a mousetrap for you. That way Timmy can never escape. Oh, God. I can't believe you brought this to the show. I'm so... And I know it's fake.
I don't think you know.
No, I'm 99.98% certain that this is a fake story. But there is just believable enough. But if she really wanted advice, where'd she go? Why don't you take it down? Yeah. Call in, San Antonio woman. We'll give you advice if this is real. But I want proof. I want mouse pictures, and I want tasteful mouse pictures. Because I don't want anything inappropriate with Timmy. But tasteful mouse pictures. Send me those, and I want the mice fully clothed.
I don't think she's listening to the show.
Well, she might be. You never know.
Her husband doesn't come across to me as a guy who would like our show.
Well, if he has a mice thing, maybe not. Maybe not.
All right, guys. Triangle Energy. Bring in the energy on Houston Dynamo game days. You probably don't like the provider you've got now. They're probably overcharging you, and you're like, I just give me one more reason to switch. Well, Triangle's done it. They're giving you a chance to win free electricity for an entire year. You sign up for any Power to Win electricity plan, you'll get two Dynamo game tickets, two t-shirts, and be automatically enrolled to win free electricity for a year. Every time the Dynamo win a home game, they're going to draw a lucky fan or customer, and that person is going to get a year of free electricity. You can enter to win by texting the word POWER to 77177. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com to learn more. That's text the word POWER to 77177. Or visit TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN for an additional discount. PUCT number 10064.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I'm so ashamed of some of you, in a good way. What about have him hanging from a ceiling fan when they walk in the room? Do you think they'll think that he killed himself and no more Timmy?
Yeah.
That's
poor Timmy.
A possibility. H-Town Berg fan, hope you guys are having a mice day. Is their favorite song?
We don't need mice puns.
Come on, no, guys. No. No, their favorite song is not Mice, Mice, Baby. And no, we don't know who's the head of the mousehold. Okay? Ugh. I'm so ashamed. In a good way. In a good way. All right. 713-780-ESPN. Your number, 713-780-3776. Want to get us on Twitter? You can do that. You want to get us on the text line? You want to comment on the Twitch page? We'll do our best to keep up with all of them. And, you know, just as mentioned yesterday, don't expect me to get to every text. I do the best I can. There's always other stuff to do around here. So, I don't know if you saw this story, a little college football thing. Apparently, 2013. Were you here, or are you still in Austin in 2013?
I was here.
Okay. The whole thing came out about Nick Saban to Texas.
Yeah.
And apparently, there was a lot to it. And what wound up killing it, Mack Brown went nuts when he found out about it.
Right.
Tom Hicks apparently went on radio, and he's talking about how we had a call from his agent. Another regent and I had a conversation with Saban. He said if Saban was a business guy, he's what you call a turnaround artist. He's not a long-term CEO. He'd go somewhere and fix it, win, and move on. And he says he knows he could win a national championship at Texas. He says, I went to see Mac 2 days later. I thought at the time Mac was ready to leave. He'd been telling people he was ready to leave. I said, Mac, I want to tell you about a conversation I had with Jimmy Sexton. If you want to retire, I think you can graciously have Nick Saban come in and take your place. It would kind of be your idea. Might be a nice way for you to end it. And he says, Mac turned bright red. Steam started coming out of his ears. He said, that guy's not coming here and winning a national championship with my players. I said, Mac, glad to see you have that passion. I didn't think you had that passion left. And that's where the Saban story came from. And he called back and said, if this isn't Mac's idea to step down, it's not going to happen. Which,
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's fair for what Mac.
I can't blame him. I mean, that was an accomplished dude. Like,
yeah. But he wound up going 8-5 the next year and resigned. And, of course, Charlie Strong, who's not Nick Saban, came after that. But I just thought that was interesting. Because we all heard those rumors. And why on earth would that stuff come out if there wasn't something there? And Saban can say all he wants, oh, I know nothing about that, but his agent obviously did.
Right.
But that makes sense that Mac wouldn't do it. Hey, let's squeeze in a call.
And who wants to say, well, listen, if you just retire gracefully.
Well, I mean, if I were at a point where I was ready to leave at the end of this year for my contract, and we were able to bring in some superstar.
Yeah.
Then that'd be great. But if I also were like, man, I want to do another year. Then, yeah, I'd be pissed off if you'd already found somebody to replace me.
Yeah.
When I wasn't ready to go yet. Let's squeeze in a call.
I just think back to, and I know, like, Mack Brown had 1 year where he didn't, where they had a losing record. One. They had from 2001 until 2009, they won double-digit games every single year. Like, it's just hard for me to, if I'm Mack Brown, to go, yeah, you know what? It's definitely time for me to go. You think about, oh man, we've had this much success. We have brought Texas back to being an elite program.
It's hard. It's hard.
Like, it's really time for you to go.
But it's hard to know. And if they've been leaking that he was getting ready to give it up, and then maybe he wasn't as interested anymore, that's different.
Yeah.
And you know, I just think, and I guess as somebody who at some point in the next 5 years is probably going to be dealing with when to walk away, I mean, I don't know that it's easy to let go of something that you've built, even if you think it's the right time.
Yeah.
That's going to be the hardest thing. When my time comes to walk away from everything that we built here, and turn it over to somebody else, even if I know deep down that we'd be better off. That'd be hard.
Yeah. So the 12 seasons, from 98 to 2009, Mack Brown lost 27 games. That's pretty good.
Well,
and then in the last four seasons, he lost 21. So
you know what I think the comp is? A.J. Hinch. Like, if A.J. Hinch starts having a couple of bad years, you're not forcing that guy out. He won you a World Series.
Right.
He did something that, and he's had a ton of success. I mean, you know, you've earned that right. And sometimes I know fans get impatient, like they did with Les Miles. I think Les Miles was a pretty good example of that. Maybe the guy deserved a little more.
Yeah.
Let's try Red. What's up, Red?
Hey, guys. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Sports. Hey, I'm actually bringing my child home. He's 2 days old. This is his first radio show ever listening. I want y'all to be in his ears. Give him your wisdom, your love, maybe some words of encouragement for the rest of his life.
Well,
set him on the right track.
What's his name?
His name is Luca.
Luca. Okay, I'm going to talk to Luca as a mouse, so if you'll just bear with me. Hi, Luca. It's a mouse. Don't do methamphetamines. Like, that's about all I've got.
Do whatever your parents tell you, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stay away from loose women. Wear condoms, Luca. Always. I feel like we really probably helped that kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to... Wouldn't have been awesome if the kid's name was Timothy.
The advice my dad gave me was... If you're going to hook up with a chick long term, you're thinking about marrying her, take a good look at her mom. If her mom's a pig, stay away. Because that's what your wife will look like when she gets to that age. It was good advice, sound advice. And I always, every girl I dated, I always, you know.
That is good advice.
I judge them based on how their mom looked.
My dad's best advice was no matter what you choose to do in life, whether you're, you know, going to journalism, whatever you do, even if you're a ditch digger, be the best ditch digger you can be.
Okay.
So,
that's good advice.
Whatever you do, kid, be the best you can at it. 713 was hoping the mouse bit would resurface. Oh, David wants to weigh in on Mac Brown. Let's hear from David.
Come on in, David. Have a seat.
Okay, before I say that, so you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
And nobody paid me to say that. So.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Right, David? You're so nice.
But anyway, the point, go talk back to Mike Brown thing. Y'all may hit the center when I say this, but Mike Brown is a better coach than Nick Saban.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time with that one.
Okay. If you don't believe me, watch what North Carolina does this season.
No, I think Mac Brown's a very good coach.
Oh, yeah. Everybody says how great Nick Saban is. Yeah, he's a good coach. I'm not going to take that away from him. But you put him at the University of Texas, and no. Sometimes... It's like you said a while ago, find out what you do good and stick with it. Well, maybe Nick Saban needs to stick with Alabama, but I'm not so sure he could go somewhere else and win.
I mean, he's won in other places. He won at LSU. He made Michigan State relevant when they were not relevant.
I think there's two guys in college. Well, one guy's still in college football, one guy who's not, who could go anywhere and win. And I think Nick Saban is one of them, and I think Urban Meyer is one of them.
Yeah.
And... You know, I think they're both turds, but as college football coaches, absolutely. In Mac's case, I think Mac was a really, really good coach who got that school back to a national championship level, and not just winning one, but getting back to one and getting Colt McCoy hurt in that game.
Yeah.
But they were in contention for that almost every single year. And the difference is Nick Saban's teams have brought it home more often.
Yeah.
As far as the final prize goes. So, I love Mac. I love what he did at Texas. I think he's going to do really well at North Carolina. If he still has the fire, that's the important thing. But it's hard to
at this point,
put anybody over Nick Saban.
Yeah, right at this now. Point, Nick Saban's the best college football coach ever.
Yeah, I it's hard to dispute that.
Because at some point, it's just like, where's your ring collection? It's like this, the argument. If it's like someone arguing that this guy's better than Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers won one Super Bowl. I can't put him ahead of Tom Brady. Mack Brown won one national championship. I can't say he's a better coach than Nick Saban.
And, yeah, it's just, I think that says it all. 832 says, stay on the breast as long as possible, Luca. people loving the mouse voice.
Thanks, guys!
Oh, God. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A couple things from Twitch before we get to the gym of the day. McSkeeza says, coaching is hard to even judge. We can all agree Mark Jackson sucked as a coach when Steve Kerr came in and flipped the Warriors around, but is Phil Jackson a good coach?
I don't think Mark Jackson sucked as a coach.
I don't think so. I think, you know, that team was getting close, but Kerr made them better, which makes him a better coach. I do think you can judge coaches because is Phil Jackson a good coach? Good coaches usually just have the best teams in most people's eyes in some cases. But how many titles did the Lakers win with that group before Jackson was there? How many did the Bulls win before Jackson was there with essentially the same talent? He made them better. Nick Saban, people forget what Alabama was before he got there.
It was in pretty rough shape.
I'm gonna take you back to the year 2000 when Mike Dubose was fired for going 3-8. Dennis Franchione went 7-5 and then 10-3. And then Mike Shula came in 4-9, 6-6, a 10-2 season, and then 6-7 again. So in that 6-year stretch, they had two 10-win seasons. Since Saban's first year where he went 7-6, do you know how many times that they've lost more than two games in a season?
Once?
One time.
That was his first year, right?
No, I'm talking about after his first year. They went 10-3 in 2010.
What a joke.
They've, and I mean, that's improving, right?
Yeah.
That's where coaching makes a difference, is because he took the same school and he made it into that. And I mean, it's just amazing. He had the 1-3 loss season. In that time, he's had 3-2 loss seasons. Three.
That's crazy.
2018, one loss. 2017, one loss. 2016, one loss. 2015, one loss. Four losses in the last 4 years. So, I that's how I judge coaching. So, all right. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Do your kids still do birthday cakes and stuff? Do you guys do the little party, or you just...
It depends. There's usually something.
Well, a lady in Macon, Georgia wanted to have a birthday for her kid, and her daughter is a huge fan of Moana, the Disney movie. So her mother ordered a cake for Davis's celebration from Dairy Queen. I don't know of Dairy Queen, how Dairy Queen is as a cake place.
I mean, they make ice cream cakes like Baskin Robbins or something like that.
So now keep in mind the daughter is 25 years old. So okay, Let's start with that. But they got the cake. It was not a Moana theme. It was a marijuana theme. And it says, happy 25th birthday, Kinsley. And it has a weed leaf and a My Little Pony in green.
Nice.
Which I think is much better than Moana. But apparently, I think they...
Oh, let me guess. Someone didn't like it.
No, apparently what happened was, she says, I think they thought that she said marijuana because we're from South Georgia and kind of have an accent. So Moana, marijuana, I could see that.
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, they're not bitching about it because they said she's ordered cakes for more than 10 years and they just made an honest mistake. I guess when they said that I love cartoons, they were just like, let's throw the little pony on there. Had red eyes. It was smoking a joint with a tramp stamp of a pot leaf on its bottom. Of course, they ate the cake. But she said, I was very impressed by the artistic capabilities of them to be able to do the design that they did. But, it's pretty badass cake with the stone My Little Pony. So, Christina, the little person, sent me that one. So that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Boy, I was looking back at that 2010 Alabama season.
Yeah.
Their third loss that year was the game where Alabama was way up on Auburn, and Cam Newton brought him all the way back.
Was that the kick six?
No, this was the one. Oh, no, that was later.
Yeah, that was later.
This is the one where Alabama was leading 24-0 and lost 28-27. That was like Cam Newton's signature.
Yeah, okay, I remember that
game.
Now.
But that was their third loss of the season.
That's a long time ago for Cam Newton.
Yeah. Time flies, man.
I'm telling you, that's...
Like Cam Newton came around right after Tim Tebow did.
Man, I wish time would slow down a little bit. For those of us who have fewer years left than most of you.
Right.
It'd really be nice if it would...
But it's good. When old people die, there's more room for the rest of us. People aren't going to stop having babies, so...
Well, especially with mice people.
Yeah, we need to get rid of some of y'all. Some of you are going to have to go, Fred! I'm sorry!
I don't want to go.
I choose you to die today.
I don't want to go into the light.
It's you or me.
Somebody said when UH almost beat Bama in 2007, was that Saban's first year at Bama? Yeah, that was. That was Case Keenum, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Of course, he was there for 12 years. So.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. 713-780-3776. Pretty good day from the text line and the Twitch line.
What are they saying?
I don't know what to do with this mouse thing, man. I mean, I kind of like it.
You don't want this forever and ever and ever?
No. Because, yeah, that's the one good thing about my kids being old enough that they don't have to have toys that sound like that anymore.
Yeah.
Although someday I'll have grandkids.
So. Are you just assuming that's what a mouse sounds like, though?
No, that's just my particular mouse.
Did you not watch Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse? That's how they sound.
That's how those two mice sound.
Now,
we don't know how Timothy sounds.
Well, I'm pretty sure that they're basing him on Minnie and Mickey. Well, what about Speedy Gonzalez? He was a mouse, right?
Yes.
He did not sound like that.
No, but he was from Mexico.
You're saying these mice aren't from Mexico?
I haven't met a lot of Mexicans named Timothy.
¿Cómo se dice Timothy en español? Oh, man. Excuse me, Timothy went to four hymns today. He's getting really excited. Oh. Now I think they have a separate website for them. It's formice.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God, I can't believe you've derailed the show with this.
Don't blame me. Blame Lance.
Oh, Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse had that same little squeaky voice, except for when he turned into Mighty Mouse, right?
I think he still kind of sounded like that. He just had more muscles.
No, I thought he was a "Here I come to save the day."
Oh, maybe so.
Yeah, but the rest of the time he was pretty squeaky, right?
Yeah,
I don't remember. I watched that when I was a kid, which was, as you guys like to point out, a very, very, very long time ago. But I do remember Mighty Mouse. Hong Kong Phooey was my favorite cartoon growing up.
Was it?
That was way before your time.
Yeah, but I've seen some Hong Kong Phooey.
Yeah.
I was a Pink Panther kid.
I love the Pink Panther too. Yeah, yeah. That was a good one. Just remember Scatman Crothers as Hong Kong Phooey. Later got an axe in him in The Shining.
Yeah.
Yeah. The weird things that I can remember.
Yeah.
As Stuart Little had a squeaky voice. I think you're on to the right path here.
I mean, that's a great thing. You can choose your own mouth, your voice, whatever you want it to be.
Somebody says you sound like the gingerbread man from Shrek. Yeah?
I guess kind of does.
Kind of does. So, all right. Well, we still have an hour left.
Yeah. That's all right, though. It means there's only 4 hours left in the week.
Yeah, which, you know, again, this one is going by pretty quick. I mean, it probably helps that we spent half an hour on a mouse.
Yeah.
Quick break. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate,